Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Pei Gimel. We're going to begin, we already read this a little bit yesterday, but we'll begin two lines from the top of Pei Gimel and Aleph, just to chazer over real quickly. So we begin by quoting the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Chole, if a person is sick, Rechmon al-Islam in Yom Kippur, Machilin oso al-Pi Bikim. You'll have to go feed this person based upon the advice of the expert doctors. Now, we had read this yesterday. Omer Rav Yani told us, Chole, Omer Tzorich, if the sick person says, I need to eat. If I don't, things are not going to be good. The doctor disagrees. Rofi Omer ain't no tzarech. The doctor says, nah, this person will be fine even if he doesn't eat. Who do we listen to? Shomim l'cholet. We listen to the sick person. Why? My taima. Lev yodea moris nafshu. A person knows himself better than the doctor does. The doctor may have more expertise in medicine, but he doesn't know what's going on inside that person. And that person can say, listen, I know I don't feel well. Whereas the doctor say, objectively, it doesn't look like there's anything that's negative or bad that would predict that he would be in trouble if he doesn't eat. Therefore, we listen to the person, even going against the advice of the doctor. That's what Rav Yani tells us. Rav says, pshita, of course. Why would you think not? Rav says, no. Obviously, you might have thought that the doctor knows best. Mal de tema rofe kim leitzve. We might think that the doctor knows better than the patient. Komashmalon, in this situation where the patient knows himself better because of his opinion, this pasuk we brought that for Mishle, Lev Yodea Moras Nafsho, this person knows himself better than the doctor. That's only to allow him to eat. The other way around, however, Rofe Omer, his new material now, Rofe Omer Tzorich, the doctor says, oh, this guy better eat, he's in trouble. And the Chola says, nah, I'm fine. V'chol Omer Eino Tzorich. This is actually the more common situation that you encounter. It's rare that the doctor is going to say, if the patient says, I really need to eat, the doctor is going to say, no, absolutely don't have meat. But here it's very common. That says, this guy is sick, he's going to be in trouble if he doesn't eat. The patient says, eating on Yom Kippur. Says, I'm not eating on Yom Kippur. No, I'm fine. So in this situation where the doctor says he needs to eat and the patient says, no, I don't think I need to eat, we listen to the doctor. Show me the rofe. Why is that? My taima. Why don't we say, Lev Yodea Moris Snapsha? Why don't we say that the sick person knows himself and he says he doesn't need to eat? Mustama, he's right. So we say, no. In this situation, Tunvahu Dinokitle. We say that this sick patient is bamboozled. He's confused. He doesn't realize. He's disoriented. That's why he says, I don't need to eat. Or he just says, a misappreciation for how sick he really is, and therefore we listen to the doctor in this situation. So we have these two statements from Rav Yani, that you listen to the patient over the doctor. If the patient says, I need to eat, the doctor says he doesn't, and you listen to the doctor over the patient. If the doctor says the patient needs to eat, and the patient says he doesn't, we go, in each situation, sofek nefashos lekula. We always deal with sofek nefashos in the way that is the best outcome for the patient, even if it's a sofek, even if it's a doubt. Now the Gemara is going to go and question these two rulings of Rav Yani from our Mishnah. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, it said, Chole, the sick person, machilin oso alpi bekiin. It said that you're only allowed to feed the sick person based upon medical advice. That implies alpi bekiin in, alpi asmalo, only if the doctors say he needs to eat, but not if the doctors don't say anything. If the doctors don't say anything, then it's only this person, we don't feed him based upon his own advice. And number two, it says alpi bekiin in, alpi baki echidlo. It seems you need to have two doctors to corroborate the need to have the person eat. One doctor alone wouldn't be enough. So both of these two statements from our Mishnah seem to argue against both of the statements of Rav Yani. So the Gemara says, no, hachem mayaskinam, what are we talking about? The Omer lo tzrichna. We're talking here where the sick person said, I do not need to eat. In that situation, we listen to the baki, alpi baki, and we listen to the baki, and we don't listen to the sick person. So that corroborates actually the first statement of Rav Yani. No, the lispule alpi baki, then you should allow him to eat even on the advice of one baki. Our Mishnah seems to say, alpi baki, and you need to have more than one expert. You need to have two doctors. So the Gemara says, no, that's also not a kasha against Rav Yani, lo tzricha. You need to say baki over here, because what happens if there's somebody that agrees with the sick person? So you have one doctor say, yeah, I think the sick person's right. He doesn't need to eat. So now you have the sick person and another doctor saying he doesn't need to eat. In this situation, you need Bekin. You need two to say that, yes, he should eat. That's the opinion right now that we're holding on. Gemara says, that's still not right. Machilin osal pi Bekin, when it says that you feed him based upon the expert opinion, so pshita, obviously, sofik pekuah nefashos lahakel. Of course you go feed him. Why would you think not? Is it sofik nefashos who? Sofik nefashos lahakel. So what's going on? So Gemara says, lo tzricha. No, you need it for the following. Here we're finally beginning to get closer to the understanding. Dikotreyach rine bahadei, the omrei lo tzarach. Now you have two doctors plus the sick person saying he doesn't need to eat. And you only have two that say he does need to eat. So it's three against two. that say he doesn't need to eat. Even though in general by Eidos, we don't distinguish between the number of people. If two people say that Reuven owes Shimon money, and three people say that, no, Reuven doesn't owe Shimon money, we don't say, well, three versus two, we listen to the three over the two. We say, trey kameya meka trey. We don't distinguish. Once you have two kosher eidim, so then they're the equivalent of even 100 kosher eidim, both ways. We don't distinguish between a smaller number and a larger number. Once you have two kosher witnesses, it's all the same. Two are like 100. And this principle of Rav Safra is only hani mili, however, linyan eidus. That's in regards to testimony, in regards to financial matters. However, avo linyan umdina, when you're using professionals to estimate the value of something, so then we do say that two are not as good as 10 or 100. In that situation, Basar Deo says linyan, you go after the estimation of the larger group. So therefore, if 10 estimate that the field is worth this much, they all come to the conclusion the field is worth this much, and two have come to the conclusion the field is worth that much, so then you follow the larger group. Basar Deo says linyan, we assume that the larger number of people are more accurate than the smaller number of people. And furthermore, Vahani, that's the years that we have, Besoros Hashas, however, says it should just be Hani Mili. When do we say Basudeo says Linon? That's Hani Mili, Le'inyan Umdunah Dumona. That's only in regards to monetary evaluations. However, here, this is not a monetary evaluation. This is a Sofik Pekuach Nefashos evaluation. Havahacha Sofik Nefashosu, and therefore you don't go after the larger number. So even though you have three people, the patient and two doctors saying he doesn't need to eat, and you only have two doctors saying he does need to eat, so one could have argued it's three against two, and this is an umdana, this is an evaluation, and therefore you should follow the three over the two. No, that's only in regards to money. But in regards to Sofik Nefashos, then you follow the two in this situation, Sofik Nefashos Lohakel. So you always make it in regards to Sofik Nefashos. Now the Gemara says, wait a second. Keep on reading our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Vin ein sham b'kiyim." The end of the Mishnah says, "If there are no experts there, so then you listen to the guy on his own." Even if there are no experts there, there are no doctors there. The guy says, "I'm sick." Right? He's at home at night. He and his wife are alone there at night, and neither he or his wife says, "I don't feel well. I think I better need to eat something." So you don't necessarily have to call the doctor. They feel so bad, then they can go and eat. So therefore, machilin osa al piatzmo implies that only when there are no bekiyim there, machilin osa al piatzmo. Implying by the reisha, michlal de reisha, de amar tzarech, when he says that he does need to eat, that there were experts there that agreed with him. So now that throws off how we learned the reisha of the Mishnah. So he says, no, this is the way to read it. Chisuri master of a hokitani. Now there are a number of different girsos over here in the Gemara. We're just going to keep it with the girsa that we have. And it tells us, Chisuri master of a hokitani. What are we talking about? The Amar Lo Tzorich Ani, when the person himself says, I do not need to eat. In that situation, if there are experts that say, the doctors that say, yeah, no, this guy needs to eat, so then we listen to the doctors over the sick person. However, Aval Amar Tzorich Ani, but if the sick person is the one that says, I need to eat, and then even Ein Shom Bekiyin Trey, even if there aren't two experts there, only one, El Echad, the Yom HaLo Tzarech, that says he doesn't need to eat, nevertheless, Machil Noso Al Piatzmo, then we listen to the sick person. That's the first opinion that we have, the opinion of Rav Yannai. Now we have an even more lenient opinion. Now we have Mar by Rav Ashi Omar. He says, no, Kol Heichel the Yom HaTzarech Ani, whenever there is a sick person, and he says, I need to eat, we let him eat. Even, listen to this, Afilu Ika Meya, the Amre Lo Tzorich. Even if there are 100 doctors, it's a medical convention, and one of the people there at the medical convention says, listen, I don't feel well. It's Yom Kippur. I don't feel so well. I need to eat. And all the doctors there, unanimously, all of them say, nah, this guy is a hypochondriac. He doesn't need to eat. He can go through a Yom Kippur. He's going to get through Yom Kippur. Even in that situation, you have 100 doctors. If you look a mayor, the Amre Lo Tzorich, even 100 doctors say, this guy doesn't need to eat, L'didei Shamino, we listen to the sick person. Again, based upon the pasuk in Mishlei Shenemar, Lev Yodea Maras Nafsho. There is the possibility that he knows better. He knows what's going on inside. He can tell, listen, I have an ominous feeling. I don't feel well. And they can't tell that. They can only look at objective findings. And therefore, he can say, no, I know there's something different. And therefore, we listen to the sick person. Why over 100 doctors? Again, because of Sofek Nefasho Slohokyo. Very important principle. Now, this leads to an interesting question. What happens if the doctors say, okay, he doesn't need to eat? Then we say, we listen to the sick person. What happens if the doctors say, if you give this guy food, it's dangerous for him. Let's say the guy just had an operation. He just had a GI operation. And he's fasting on Yom Kippur. It's far enough from the very operation that he was allowed to fast on Yom Kippur. Now he says, listen, I don't feel well. I need to eat. And the doctors examine him. They say, no, if you give this guy food to eat right now, he's going to die. It's going to actually hurt him. So then in that situation, where the doctors say that it will actually be dangerous for him to eat, then the modern day post can say, here, we do listen to the doctor. We do say that medicine has progressed to a certain enough point that if the doctors say it's dangerous for him to eat, then we actually override what previously was the ruling that we listen to the sick person even in that situation. But nowadays we listen to the doctor if they say that it's dangerous for the person to eat. But if the doctors just say, nah, he'll be fine if he doesn't eat, then we do still listen to the patient. Now the Gemara questions this very lenient opinion of Mar Bar Rav Ashi. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, im ein shom bekiyin, if there are no expert doctors over there, only then, machilim oso al piasmo, do we go and give him food on his own. That implies that if there are bakim, taima, the lack of bakim, only when there are no bakim do we listen to the person. But the implication is, ha ikar bakim lo, that if we do in fact have experts there, we don't listen to the person. So again, if the 100 doctors, or even 2 doctors, would say this guy shouldn't eat, then we should listen to the doctors and not give the person the food, even though he says he needs it. We don't follow Yodea Morris Napsho. So Morris says, no. What is Mar Bar Rav Ashi really telling us? He says, when do we say that we follow the Bakim, the experts, and let him eat? That's Omar Lo Tzorich Ani. That's when he says, I don't need it. And the experts say he does need it. Then we listen to the doctors. However, Abul Omar Tzorich Ani, if he says, I need to eat, and even though all the experts say that he doesn't need to eat, even Ein Sham Bakim Klal, or even if there are no experts there, so then we do feed the person. Shenema, again, because of this principle, Lev Yodea Moris Nafsho. This person knows. If a sick person says, I need to eat on Yom Kippur, even if all the doctors disagree with him, as long as they don't say it's dangerous for him, as long as they disagree with him, say, nah, this guy will be fine. Nevertheless, we give this person to eat or drink on Yom Kippur. Again, how strong is this principle of Sofek Nefashos Lohakel? Now go to the next Mishnah. Misha achazo bulmus. If somebody has this illness known as bulmus. Bulmus basically is a recholi, Rashi tells us, ha'olches machmas ri'ovon. It's a sickness that a person becomes starved. He needs to eat. He's famished. And this is known as bulmus. And ain't of chaos, his eyes become weak. In other words, he starts getting fainting. He can't see clearly. V'umesukon lomus. This is a fatal potential illness. And when his appearance comes back and when his vision comes back, then you know that this passing bulmus has gone away. Okay, so this person gets this illness known as bulmus. And again, I'm not sure medically exactly what it is, but it's some sort of a ravenous need to eat. Maybe he's just very, very dehydrated. So Misha Achazo bulmus. If somebody has this bulmus illness and he has to eat something, so Machilin Oso Afilu Dvarim Tumeim. If there's nothing else kosher around, obviously the rule always is you give him something that's kosher if there's something kosher around. But assuming that there is nothing kosher around, he somehow is in a non-Jewish restaurant when he gets this attack. Don't ask me what he's doing there. He's in this non-Jewish place, and the only food that they have there is treifa stuff. So then you can give him even macholim asurim. That is the halacha, and you give it to him as much as he needs, ashi yoru enav, until his vision comes back. Once his vision comes back, he's back to himself, so then obviously don't keep on eating it. You don't say, well, once he started, let him finish the meal. No, you only give him enough food of this macholos asuros, or even if it was kosher food on Yom Kippur, until he is considered well. Now, similarly, this leads to a similar idea of giving somebody something that is not kosher. Mishin shocho kelev shota. If I'll call it a rabid dog. A shota is a fool. So a foolish dog. But this really means over here a rabid dog. Actually, the Gemara describes some of the symptoms of this illness. It certainly sounds like rabies. So if a dog, a mad dog, goes and bites you, so then what do? Obviously, a huge risk that this person is going to get rabies. So, ein machilin oso mechatzar kovichelo. So, the Tanakam of Amishan, the Chachamim hold, we don't give him to eat from the liver, mechatzar kovichelo, from the area of the liver. We do not give the sick person this food. They used to obviously think that this was a successful treatment. It's almost a little bit like giving passive immunity. Somehow, this dog's liver, this dog's able to survive right now. So maybe if you give the dog's liver to the person and you give it, obviously the dog's not kosher, the liver's not kosher, but they thought that maybe this is a good therapy. So the Tanakhama says this is not a proven therapy. The Rambam over here in the Pirush Mishnayos has one of the most important statements about when do you allow somebody to do something that's usur in regards to Pikuach Nefashos. So he says in regards to medications, in regards to standard therapies, you can only give it if it's Menusa Beduka, Beduka Menusa. It has to be tried and tested. It has to have undergone study, has to have a prospective double-blind study, has to have good research, good data supporting that it is allowed. So if you're going to give somebody something that's treif, you better have data that shows that it's good. You can't just say, well, this sounds like a good idea. So the Tanakhama, the Chachamim hold over here that it was not a good idea. It wasn't proven. And therefore, you can't give the person who was bitten by this rabid dog, shech the dog, and go give him some of the liver. Kill the dog and go give him some of the dog's liver. That's not allowed. Ein machilin oso mechatzar kovich lo. That is the Tanakhama's opinion. Rav Masi ben Chairish disagrees. Rav Masi ben Chairish matir, he says, no, you are allowed to go and give it to him. He felt it was menusa ubeduka. As Rashi points out, he says, ksava refua gemurihi. He disagreed medically. So he said, no, this has been proven, and therefore one is allowed to do so. Just like you can give him any macholos asuros, you can do this therapy as well. So seem to have a fundamental difference in terms of the therapy over here, whether this is a good, proven therapy or not. The Chacham and the Tanakhama say no, and Rav Masi ben Chairish says yes. Another statement that he made, if somebody has a certain type of illness in his throat, so something is bothering him in his throat. Now, this could be something serious. So therefore, Rav Masi ben Chairish says, you're allowed to go treat it. Matilin lo sam besoch piv b'Shabbos. You can go and give him some medication for this on Shabbos. This is considered pikuach nefashos, and you can give it to him. Now, obviously, refuah on Shabbos is not allowed for somebody that is not in a pikuach nefashos situation. At least not a daraisa. You're not allowed to do a daraisa for somebody who's just a chole she'ein bo sakana. You can do a drabanan, but you can't do a daraisa. So here he tells us specifically that we give him matilin lo sam besoch piv b'Shabbos, that even somebody else is allowed to go and be over in issa daraisa for this person because it's pikuach nefashos, and a person could do any isurim daraisa, including making this medication, giving him this sam, even the other person who's not pikuach nefashos for him, the doctor, when he's doing this therapeutic maneuvers, the pharmacist is crushing the medicine, he's pulling up the roots and doing all these yisurim deraisa, he's not the one that's sick, yet you see that somebody else is allowed to go and do this for this person on Shabbos. Now, Amasechta is Yom HaKippur, Amasechta is Yuma, so why do we mention here on Shabbos? So this is to tell us that Shabbos, which is even stricter than Yom Kippur, the same din applies. And that's the Chiddush over here. They want to tell us, even on Shabbos, you'll have to do this, not just, quote, on Yom Kippur. Shabbos is Nisr Skila. Yom Kippur is, quote, only Kares. And yet, even on Shabbos, you'd be allowed to do this. That's why it mentions specifically here on Shabbos, Matil Osam, so Pibi Shabbos, and certainly even on Yom Kippur. And again, why is this allowed? So Rav Masi ben Chairish says, "Mipnei shu sofik nefashos." The kol sofik nefashos dochas the Shabbos, and of course Yom Kippur as well. Any situation where there's a potential loss of life, again, even a sofik. That's why it's so critical to understand even a sofik pikuach nefashos. And this was so true during the year of COVID. Every time I discussed this shaila of what we can do and what we can't do with COVID, so both Harav Shachter Shlita, Harav Willa Shlita, the ones I discussed mostly with, but many, many, many other gedolim as well. Every time the situation came up, if it was a suffix pikuach nefashos, we always have to go in the way that would be the best for life. So, therefore, many things that we did in terms of closing down the shuls, in terms of not allowing certain gatherings, in terms of all sorts of changes in Jewish ritual life, were based upon this principle of suffix nefashos is dochas a Shabbos, is dochas kol Torah kula, with the exception, of course, of the three cardinal sins, which Baruch Hashem, that didn't really apply with COVID. Now, Mishanof Lalamapolis, here we have another very important part of the Mishnah, which will lead to a whole discussion of how we define death in the Gemara in a couple of days. So the Mishnah tells us, Mishanof Lalamapolis, if Rahman Lusana building fell down, Nebuch, this is in Yonad Bioma, this is the terrible, terrible situation in Surfside, Florida, Nebuch with the collapse of that building, Hashem Yerachem, all the people that maybe still are alive, buried underneath there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save them. When I'm dictating this, it doesn't look very optimistic, but I always hope, and B'ezus Hashem, this should not be Hakdil Torah Vladira, but this should be Halacha Lamaisa. Nisha Nofla, all of Mapolis, if a building falls down on a person, Safik Husham, Safik Enusham, maybe there's a person there, maybe it's not a person there. Safik Chai, Safik Mates, maybe they're still alive under there. So on Shabbos, you're allowed to go and do everything needed to go and save the person. I saw it was there on Shabbos, they were removing debris, the local authorities were removing debris on Shabbos with Heter Gomor. And this is true, Safek Kusi, Safek Yisrael, whether the question whether it's a Jewish person there or Kusi over there, meaning an Ovid Avodah Zara. Nevertheless, Mefachlin Olav Esagal, you are allowed to go and remove all the debris, be over Yisrum Daraisa, Yisrum Darabonon, Heter Gomor, because the potential for saving a life overrides everything, with the exception again of the three cardinal sins. However, Mitzo Chai, if they find the person alive, so they can keep on doing everything, obviously, for that person. But in Mace, if they do find that Nebuch, only dead people are there, Hashem Yirachem, so then, Yanichu, you don't take care of the dead person on Shabbos, then you have to leave him over there. Again, there may be halacha l'maisa, things that you can do on a Durabbanan level, you should cover that Mace, but you wouldn't be allowed to be over Yisurim Daraisa, Nebuch, Hashem Yirachem. Gemara starts and says, Tana Rabbanon, we learned in a Braisa, Minayin Hayu Yodin Sheirei Nov. We said in the Mishnah that this bulmus, we started talking about this illness, let's call it the severe dehydration and famine. And how do you know that you gave him enough of the Machol Masurim that he no longer has to have them anymore? You gave him enough food on Yom Kippur that he doesn't have to eat anymore, drink anymore. Minayin Hayu Yodin Sheirei Nov. How do we know that his eyesight has been restored to him, he can see again, when he can tell the difference between something that is good and bad. Now, there are a number of ways to learn the next statement. Omar Abaye, the simple way is to understand this, and how do you know this? Ubatama. You give him something to taste. If he can taste the difference between a good food and a bad food, so then, the stomach, Rashi says that means that he is back, his vision is back as well. As Rashi says, Mishi Yodeh Lahavchin Bein Tam Tav Shul Yofa L'Tam Tav Shul Ra. So then you know that that's also going to mean that he is able to go and have his vision back. Miri explains a little bit differently. Miri says, you can tell the person has his vision back by asking him, do you see this? Do you see that? So that's easy. But what happens at night when you can't see? It's dark and you can't see. So then he says, you use the taste mechanism. If the person's taste has come back, so then the stomach, his vision has come back as well. That's the way the Miri understands this. Gemara continues and quotes another braisa. Tana Rabbanan, we learn the following braisa. Misha chazu bulmus. Again, the person has this ravenous need to eat, drink. Machilno so hakal hakal. So the normal procedure is you do the least objectionable thing until you have to do something more objectionable. So in general, we always say, if you have to transgress an isser, beheter, so you do the least problematic isser rather than the most problematic isser. For example, machilno so hakal hakal. You give him the least objectionable food first, and only afterwards you give him something that's more objectionable if that didn't work. Such as, for example, if you have the choice, you have the only food available to you to feed this person is tevel or nevela. Tevel is, of course, food that hasn't yet had trumas and maisers taken from it, and it's a isser of misa b'dei shamayim to eat tevel. But nevela is an animal that didn't get shechted, it died. It's a kosher animal, but it died. And this nevela is, quote, only a lav. So you have a choice of a misa b'dei shamayim isser, tevel, or a lav, a lo saseh, don't eat nevela, so then the nevela is less problematic than the tevel in terms of the severity. So machil and so nevela. In this situation, it's preferable to give him the nevela. If your choices are only tevel or shvius, again, tevel is a misa b'dei shamayim type of an isser, and shvius is just you're not doing a kum va'aseh. You're supposed to get rid of all the shmitah foods. You're not allowed to go and keep them beyond a certain point in time. So if you were to eat the shvita, the shvius food, so then you'd be over in aseh, and the tevel, rov misa b'dei shamayim. So again, clearly you do feed him the shvius, which is a lower level of an isser than the tevel. Now, the Gemara doesn't give this case, but all the Mepharshim talk about what happens if you have Nevela and Shvius. So you have here the choice of a Lav or an Aseh. So which one should you do? So many poskim say, okay, do the Aseh. That's a lesser Isser than doing the Los Aseh. And that is, in fact, the opinion of the Tosus HaRosh, who says that you give him the Shmita food, the Shvius food, rather than giving him, in that situation, the Nevela. However, there are other Rishonim, for example, the Rabbeinu Chananel, says that no, you give him the vela. And this is also mashu from the Rambam. And the reasoning is that they hold that an iser aseh, being over this kumvi aseh, is more chomer than an iser lav. Now, this is a little bit problematic because from the sugi and the shas over here, it seems to imply the opposite. Because it first gave us between tevel and nevela, and then it gave us the choice of tevel or shvias, so that implies that nevela was more serious than shvias. In any event, this seems to be a machlokis amongst the poskim. Next scenario the Gemara says is tevel or truma. The person has tevel, which again, as we've mentioned several times, is a misa b'dei shemayim, or truma. Now, truma is also an issa of misa b'dei shemayim. So which one of these two things should you transgress? They're equal in level of severity. They're both misa b'dei shemayim. The person eats tevel, the person eats truma, he's not allowed to, so then he's over an issa that would be a misa b'dei shemayim punishment. So which one is the less objectionable? Which one is the kal? So this is machlokas tanoim, tanoihi. As the following Brisa tells us, the Tanya, Machilin also Tevel. The first opinion, the Brisa says, if the choice was Tevel or Truma, better to give him Tevel. Vein Machilin also Truma, and don't give him the Truma. Versus Ben Tema Omer, the second opinion, Ben Tema says, no, it's preferable to give him the Truma, and don't give him the Tevel. What's the understanding over here? So I'm a Rabbah. Rabbah says, it depends. If you have the Tevel, which of course is not yet tithed, but you could go and tithe it. So, if you had the opportunity to go and tithe it, and there's enough food in the chulin that you could satisfy this bulmus by giving him the now tithed chulin food, if you could tithe it, and there's enough food here in the chulin component that you could treat this bulmus, so then everybody agrees, that certainly, even on Yom Kippur, when you're not allowed to take off Shumas and Maisa, so Shabbos, you're not allowed to take off Shumas and Maisa, it's only the Rabbanon. And certainly, that would be preferable to go and be mafresh to trumas and isers, and now you have time. Again, always talking here about a situation where the delay in time is not going to make a difference. So you can be mafresh this in 20 seconds. That 20 seconds is not going to make a difference in terms of the outcome. I'd mentioned again, have to say it here too, you can never say it enough, that any delay that would cause harm to the person is not halachically allowed. So even if you could go get the much, much less objectionable or even kosher food in 20 seconds, but right now he needs to eat or drink or else he will die. So then you give him the objectionable food and don't try to get the less objectionable food or the kosher food. Again, you have to know whether this will make a difference or not. If it won't make a difference, then you do the kal, you take the less objectionable or the kosher food. But if it's going to possibly make a difference, then you don't wait. You give him the more objectionable food. So here we're talking about Hechel the Efshar, if you can be mafresh the Trumas and Maisus and then give him Chulin, there's enough Chulin here that he'll be able to satisfy the Bulmas needs. So then, the Kuliyama, lo pligi, the Mastikin lay, then you do the Takana, you go and be mafresh the Trumas and Maisus with Sinulay, and then you give him the Chulin. Keep pligi, where do the Tanakama and Bentema argue? That's Bidalo Efshar B'chulin. There is not enough Chulin over here, or one could argue there's not enough time to go and do this. So now, you're stuck. You give him Tevel, or you give him Truma. So, Bentema holds, Maris Sabar, Tevel is more Chomer, and therefore you give him Truma and not Tevel. Whereas the Tanakhama says, Maris Sabar, Truma is more Chamura, and therefore you give him the Tevel and you don't give him the Truma. What's the understanding between the two? So Bentema, who says that Truma is less Chomer than Tevel, Tevel is more Chomer, Maris Sabar, Tevel is more Chomer, so Aval Truma, why is it less Chomer? Because Chazir LeKohen, because it is able to be eaten by Kohanim, so therefore it's able to be eaten by somebody. But nobody's allowed to eat Tevel, even a Kohen who's allowed to eat the Trumas and Maisus inside of it, and the Chulin inside of it, but when it's not yet separated, he can't eat it. So nobody can eat Tevel, and there are Kohanim that, of course, can eat Truma. So therefore, given the choice between the two, Ben Tema says the Truma is less severe than Tevel. That's Ben Tema's Svara. And the Tanakamu, Maya Sovar, no, Truma is more Chamura. Why? Because Tevel, Abel Tevel, Efshul Sakune. Because Tevel can be made into Chulin and then Trumas and Maestras. So therefore, Tevel is correctable. Truma is, quote, not correctable. It's always going to be Truma. It's always going to be also for Azor. So that's the two respective reasonings between the Tanakamu and Mentema as to whether you should preferably feed him Tevel or whether you should preferably feed him Truma. Now we turn to Pei Gimel Amud Beis. Mar says, he just said that if you could be mafresh the Trumas and Maisus, so of course you do. So what's the chiddush there? Efshar b'chulin pshita, this is so obvious. You're dealing here with tevel that's daraisa, truma that's daraisa, and at worst this is mafresh the Trumas and Maisus is only the rabbanon. So of course, what's the shaila? Efshar b'chulin pshita. But says, no. Lo tzricha b'Shabbos. The chiddush over here is on Shabbos, where you're dealing over here with an issur of being mafresh to trumas and ma'isur. So that's why you have to tell us. Gemara says b'Shabbos also nami pshita. After all, tiltul midrabbanu. The whole problem over here of being mafresh is only a derabbanan. So again, the choice is tevel daraisa, truma daraisa, or being over mafresh midrabbanan. So again, what's the shaila? No shaila at all. So I said, nope, we're dealing over here with Truma and Tevel that were not Midaraisa. They were growing in an Otzitz, the Otzitz, She'eno Nokov, which is only a din Dirabonon. Growing in a flower pot that's not connected to the ground, doesn't have a hole in the bottom of it, so it's halachically not considered connected to the ground. And the Chiyav of Tevel and Trumas and Maisus on such growths, produce that are growing in such a flower pot that doesn't have a hole in it, it's not halachically connected to the ground. The whole Chiyav of Trumas and Maisus there is also only Midirabonon. So now it's Tevel Dirabonon, it's Truma Dirabonon versus being Mafresh Dirabonon. So therefore, the Chiddush is in that situation that you need to tell me that no, it's better to go and be mafresh the trumas and maisos from this derabbanan than eating the issa of tevel derabbanan or truma derabbanan. And therefore, Mar Sovar ben Tema tells us that in this situation, tevel is more chomer. When e efshar, so the tevel here is more chomer for the reason that we said before, and Mar Sovar, the Tanakhama, holds no, truma is more chomer because of the reasons that we said before as well. But both of them agree that if you could be mafresh, then that would be preferable. Now the Gemara says, let us say over here that this opinion that you should be mafresh to Trumas and Maisus rather than be over the Tevel or Truma Dirabonon, maybe this is not so clear-cut. In fact, we have a braisa that says, Tanya, if somebody was bitten by a snake on Shabbos, so what are you allowed to do? Korin lorofi mokum lorokum. You can do anything that's needed for the healing of the snake bite. You can call a doctor coming from outside the tchum, from far away, from wherever you need to get the doctor. You can be over all sorts of Yisurim. You can go and just open up this chicken for him to put it on the womb. They felt that somehow that would be beneficial, even though these are all Yisurim deraisa that you'd have to do. You have to call the doctor. You have to be over Yisurim deraisa. You have to go and shach this chicken or cut this chicken up. And that's Natilas Neshama. That's an Issa deraisa. If it goes in low S accretion, you'd be allowed to go and uproot the accretion, the cress, and take it up from the ground. That's Talisha. Umachil and so on. You can give him all these things. The Ein Tzarech L'Aser. And you don't go and take off Trumas and Maisus from the cress that you pull up from the ground. Divi Rebbe. That's the opinion of Rebbe. However, Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, the famous Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, this is Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, the ones in the cave. So Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Omer, lo yochal ad she'yaser. No. Again, it's not going to be an emergency, this extra 10 seconds. It's not going to make any difference. So then you have to take off Trumas and Maisus from this crest that you pulled up from the ground or whatever else you pulled up from the ground. So therefore, it seems to be over here, name of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, he, the low Rebbe. So maybe let us say that this opinion that Rabbi had said, that it's preferable to go be mafresh to Trumas and Maisus rather than to be over the other Yisurim, so that seems to go like the opinion of Elazar Rebbe Shimon and not Rebbe. Where says, no, not necessarily so. That's not a machlokes tanoim over here. I feel him a Rebbe. This would even be the opinion of Rebbe. Ad kan lo kama Rebbe hosom elinu maisi yerek derabbanan. What are we talking about? Kress. Kress is only a derabbanan. So Rebbe says you don't have to go and be concerned about this derabbanan in this situation, because you're dealing over here with pikuach nefashos. Abo b'maiser dogon, the tevel daraisahu. But if you're dealing over here with a din that's a din daraisa, even Rebbe would say, afilu Rebbe modeh, that you have to be mafresh to trumas maisers, assuming it won't make any difference for the sick person in those extra few seconds. And his reasoning is, because the isharis le ba'otzitz she'enu nokov, if we were allowed you to go do this in an otzitz she'enu nokov, which is only din derabbanan, so then a person may come to do this, osi lamechal be'otzitz shu nokov, they would come to go and eat the tevel, even if the flower pot did have a hole in the bottom of it, and therefore it is halachically considered going from the ground, and now you'd be over in Issa Daraisa. So therefore, Rebbe was machmir in this situation because of the concern that you could mistakenly do this from an otzitz she'enu nokov to an otzitz shu nokov. So the bottom line is that when you're dealing over here with only a pure din derabbanan with the yerek, so then there is no concern. Even if you would do this on a daraisa from an otzis nakov to an otzis She'enu nakav, if you'd make the incorrect assumption, if I could do this for an atzah, she'enu nakav, I can do it for an atzah nakav, if you're dealing only with a din derabanan, such as vegetables, so then it's still a din derabanan. But when you're dealing over here with something that could be on a derice level, like dagan, so then Rebbe was gozer in that situation only, that we don't allow you to do this. We don't allow you not to take off the trumas and maizes. We require you to take off the trumas and maizes, even if it's only derabanan in its otzitz she'enu nakav, because this is the din daraisa of dagan, and we're concerned that you may do the same thing with an otzitz she'nakav, and that would be a din daraisa that you're not allowed to eat the tevel, and therefore he says that you're allowed to be mafresh the trumas and maizes in that situation. Now the Gemara is going to go into a little bit of medical therapy. Tana Rabbanan, Misha Achazo Balbus. If somebody has this ravenous illness, this dehydration, this need to eat immediately or drink immediately, Machilin also Devash V'Chomine Masika. He says the best way to cure this bulmus is to give him something sweet. Machilin also Devash V'Chomine Masika. Maybe they're talking here about somebody who's in a hypoglycemic state. He has diabetes and he is having very, very low blood sugar. So give him something sweet. Machilin also Devash V'Chomine Masika. That will be the cure for this bulmus. Shadvash V'Chomine Masika. They will restore this person's vision. They'll be the best treatment for this bulmus. Now, we don't have any definitive proof from Tanakh for this. Nevertheless, even though there's no Raya Ledover, there is a Zeich Ledover. This is alluded to with the famous story of Shaul and his son, Yonasan, where Shaul had declared a fast day before they were going to battle the Plishtim, and his son Yonasan did not know this. And he said, Ru'u na, ki oru einai, ki ta'amti ma'at devash hazeh. Yonasan ate. He broke his father's decree not to eat anything. He didn't know that his father had made such a decree. He was out in the field. He was out in the battlefield. And he didn't know that his father had decreed everybody should fast before they were going into battle. And he said, wow, Baruch Hashem, I just had a little bit of this devash, and it made my eyes light up. So I am now in a very good situation. Ki ta'amti ma'at devash, because I had a little bit of this honey, oru einai, my eyes lit up. Where it says, that seems like a really great raya. Why did you say afa pisha ein raya ledover zeich ledover? Ma afa pisha ein raya ledover. This sounds like a great raya. So when he says, no, the hosim lav bulmus achse. He didn't have this bulmus. So we don't have a raya from here that this is the treatment for bulmus. We have a raya that honey and sweet things can make a person's eyes light up. So that doesn't mean that it's the cure for bulmus. So therefore, it's not a raya ledover, but it's a zeich ledover. Okay. Amar Baya Baya says, Lo Shanu, this idea of eating something sweet, the honey or Dvar Masika, the best time to do this, Lo Shanu, Elali Acher Achila, it will only be helpful in this situation if you've had something else to eat first. Avol Kodem Achila, but before you eat, so this will actually make things worse. Migrar Gorir, it will make you even hungrier. It's like you have something as sweet as a four spice, it makes your appetite even more. So that's the worst thing you can do for this bulmus, is to give them something sweet up front, because that will even make them hungrier. This is based upon the pasuk. They had found a person that was an eved, that he was absolutely ravenous. Vayimtzu ish mitzri basoda. They found this ish mitzri in the field. Vayichu also al David. They brought him to David. Vayitnu lo lechem. They gave him bread. Vayochal and he ate. Vayishku mayim. They gave him water to drink and he drank it. And then vayitnu lo pelach devela. Then only afterwards did they give him these pressed figs, ushnei tzimukim, and a bunch of raisins, tzimukim or raisins, bayochal, and he ate them, batoshev ruchei lov, and it restored him. He mistoma had this bulmus, and kilo ochal lechem, lo shosho mayim, shlosho yomim, ushlosho lelos. He hadn't eaten for 3 days and 3 nights, and that's why he was so famished. And therefore, you see from here, that clearly they didn't give him the sweet stuff first. That would have been actually worse. They gave him the staples first, they gave him the bread and the water, and only afterwards they gave him the sweet stuff. So that's what Bai says, his statement. Amr of Nachman, Amr Shmuel. Rav Nachman said the name of Shmuel. Misha chazo bulmus. If somebody has this illness, bulmus, machilo so alya bedvash. So the best cure for this, he says, is to give him, alya is the tail of a sheep. And Rashi points out that this tail is basar shomein ma'od. It's a very, very fatty type of a meat, so mistama, they felt that was very, very good and healthy for you, and therefore they would dip a little bit of that ayah into honey, and that's the treatment that Rav Nachman and Mashmul said is the best treatment for bulmus. Rav Huna Breid, Rav Yeshua, Amar, he said the treatment is av soles nikiya b'dvash. If you give him nice, finely sifted flour, soles, and you dip that in honey, that's also a very good treatment for bulmus. And finally, Rav Papa Amar, he says, even afilu kimche disari, even if it's not such great flour, even if it's a barley flour, you don't have to give him the best, finely sifted flour, soles, nikiya. You can even give him barley flour. Barley flour is normally not considered a very high quality food. Barley is considered animal fodder, and only in certain situations do human beings eat barley flour. So if you dip that in divsha, it will also work as well. Afilu kimcha desari b'divsha, that will work to treat this bulmus. We have a couple of maises over here with bulmus. Amar Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan himself said, Pamachas achozani bulmus, I once had this illness bulmus, and I quickly ran, v'ratzdi l'mizroch shulteina, I ran to the eastern side of a fig tree, a teina tree, and I ate the fruits over there, and this was based upon my understanding of the pasuk, and I fulfilled in myself this pasuk from Koheles, which says that a person, if he's smart, it can cause him to survive, it can allow him to live, because the Tani Rav Yosef, because Rav Yosef is taught in the Braisa, Harotza Litom Tam Teina. If you really want to eat the best of the Teinim, so again, go to the east of the tree, Yifnul Mizracha. And that's where Yochanan knew this, and he went to the east of the tree, and that was the best way to cure this bulmus, because that was the best fruits. And this is based upon the Pasuk that we have in Chumash, Shenema Umi Meged Tuos Shomesh. It says that on the Meged, which is on the eastern side, you're going to have the Tuah from the sun. In other words, the best fruits are going to be found on the eastern side because they're in the sun's rays early in the morning. So he understood that if you go to the eastern side of the tree, those are the best fruits. Similarly, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, these two great Tanoim, Havuka Ozli Burcha, they were once traveling together on the road, and Achze Bulmus Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda unfortunately got this illness, this ravenous illness of Bulmus. So what did he do? He took all the food from his shepherd. Kabche L'roa Ochle L'rifta. He took the shepherd's bread over here, his rifta, his sandwich, and he ate it. He ate up everything that the shepherd had. Amalei Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi said, Ki pachto es aroa. You took all the food of the shepherd. How are you allowed to do that? As Rashi says, Kofo, he took against his will, v'notal ki karo hemenu. He grabbed it from him. How are you allowed to do this? So the halacha is that you are allowed to do this. And the question is, do you have to pay for it or not? But in any event, the halacha is you are allowed to do this. So Rav Yossi said to him, listen, you took all your shepherd stuff. That's not nice. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the story interesting. Kimotu l'masa, when they reached the city, so Achze Bulmus Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi then got this Bulmus. And what happened? Ahadru Beloge Vitzoy. The whole town came out and gave him Beloge. Rashi says Beloge is Leginin Shel Dvash. Umasika ukaros shel tavshilin. This blogi vitzoy are all sorts of sweet things, honey and sweet things. So everybody in the town was wiped out. Amalei Reviewer, the Reviewer says to him, you were upset at me because I took my shepherd stuff. Ani kipachti zaroa, v'ataki pachti zayagula. And you took everybody's stuff from the town. Everybody again was interested in saving these great tanoim, Reviewer and Rav Yossi. So they brought out all the food for Rav Yossi to go and eat, that he shouldn't die from this bulmus. Now we have a very famous story, very interesting story, that we just saw that Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi were going together, traveling. One time they also went with Rav Meir amongst them, the Sioux. So the Gemara continues and says, furthermore, Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yossi, Havu Ka'azle Biurcha, these three great Tanoim were traveling together. Now, Rav Meir was always very particular. Rav Meir, Hava Dayak Bishma, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yossi, Lo Havi Dayku Bishma. Rav Meir was very careful with a person's name. He learned things. He was able to intuit certain things from a person's name, whereas Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi were not as medakdek with a person's name. We'll see at the end of the story they became medakdek with a person's name too. In any event, Kimatu Lahu Duchto, when they reached a certain place where they were going to need to stay overnight, Boish Bezizus, they came to the hotel, and Yehavu Lo, and they were given a place to stay. Amulo, so they said to the hotel owner, Mashimcha, what's your name? So the person said, Amar Lahu. He told these three great Chachamim, Kidor, my name is Kidor. Rav Meir heard this name and he said, uh-oh, that's not good news. Amar Shmami no Adam Roshu. This person is a wicked person based upon his name. There's a pasuk, Shenema, Kidor Tapuchos Hema. Now, Kidor, that was this guy's name. This is an upside-down generation. Now, this is a reference to problems in Klal Yisrael, that we're going to Nebuch be an upside down generation. We're going to throw away HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all sorts of other Nebuch wrong things. So he took it as an omen that Ki Dor was a bad person. In fact, there's a beautiful sefer that's written. Ki Dor Tapuchos Hema is the name of a sefer that deals with all the halachos of transgender. It's a very big, unfortunate problem today that we have to deal with, both from an emotional, psychological point of view, as well as from a medical point of view, as well as from a halachic point of view. So the person in Eretz Yisrael, Talmud Chacham, wrote this sefer that deals with many, 300, 400 page sefer that deals with many halachos dealing with what is the halachic status of an individual in this situation. In any event, Rav Meir saw that, based upon this pasuk, that this guy Kedar, nothing good was going to come from him. However, Yehuda Rav Yossi, these two Tanoim, Ashlim Lekisai, they weren't concerned about this, and they gave him their purse to watch. They were staying off of Shabbos, so they gave it to him to put in a safe deposit box. But they shouldn't have done this. Rav Meir Lo Ashlim Lekisai, Rav Meir was obviously prepared to be concerned that this guy was a bad news, and he didn't give him his purse, he didn't give him his wallet, and Ozal Osve, instead, what he did was he went to the cemetery, local cemetery. He said, that's a pretty safe place for me to go bury my wallet, and Ozal Osve Be Kivre Davu, and he went to the grave of this father of this Kedar, and he placed the wallet in the grave, nearby. Ischazi Lebechami, that night, this Kedar had a dream where his father appeared to him in his dream and told him, Toshoku Kisa de Manachareshe Dao Gavra, go and take the wallet that this Rav Meir had buried underneath my head or near my body. So the Gemara says, Lamachar, this Kedar asked him when he woke up Shabbos morning, Amalu, Hochi Ischazi Libichamoy, I saw this in my dream. What do you make of it? So Rav Meir told him, we had the Girsa Armile, they told him, but many suggest that it was Rav Meir who told him only. That's the Girsa that the Bach says over here, that when Rav Meir had buried this money in a jug near the father of Kedar, so now Rav Meir knew that this dream was a real dream, so it was Rav Meir who told him that Rav Meir, not Armile, but Armile, so Rav Meir told him that when you have a dream like this, Chalmo Devei Shimshe, when you have a dream on the night of Friday night, so Les Behum Amosha, it has no substance to it, and therefore you should ignore it. And that's what Kedar did. When Rav Meir told him that it's worthless, so he had no idea that Rav Meir had hid in a jug the wallet near his father's grave. So he just assumed that Rav Meir was telling him that to ignore the dream because there was no substance to it. In any event, what did Rav Meir do? Now that he heard that this dream, he thought maybe the guy wouldn't listen to him, Kedar would go and check out his father's grave and see that there was a dug-up area. So Azar Rav Meir, the Natri Kula Yoma, so Rav Meir went out there and watched his wallet the rest of Shabbos, by saying as soon as Shabbos was over, he took back his wallet. Okay. Next morning, they all get up to go and leave, and Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi go and ask Kedar for their wallet back. Lamochar, Amru Lo, they said to Kedar, Havlon Kisan, please give us a wallet back that we gave to you for safe deposit. And Amru Lo, so this Rosh Kedar said to them, what are you talking about? What wallets? Lo Yudvar Meolam. I never took your wallet. What are you talking about? So obviously he was a gadav. So Amar Lahu Rav Meir. So Rav Meir tells Rav Yehuda Rav Yossi, Amai Lo Daikisu Bishma. You should have realized that his name was Kedar. Kedar Tapuchos Hema. You should have realized he was a Rasha. So Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi said to him, Amar Lahu Amai Lo Amai Lo Amai. Why did you tell us? If you had warned us, then we would have listened to you. So Amar Lahu says, how is he allowed to warn you? Right? We're in the middle of the 3 weeks right now when I'm dictating this. The person has to be very careful about saying over Lashon Hara about somebody else. So he says, Amar the Amre Ano Chashasha. How could I possibly tell you something? I only was concerned because of the name. It was a chashash, but I don't know for certain that this guy's a ganav, so I didn't have the right halachically to go tell you anything. But you should have realized it on your own. Nope, they did realize it, as we'll see for the next story. In any event, what did they do? They went to try to get their wallet back. So they said, let's take him to a bar, and maybe we'll get him drunk, and he'll spill the beans, and he'll tell us where our wallets are. So they took him to a store, and in the store, they obviously gave him wine to drink. That's the Girsa of the Bach, where he says, Ashkuyo Chamra, they gave him wine to drink, and while they were sitting and eating and drinking with him, they noticed, Chazu Talpache Asfame. They saw that he had some lentil beans still on his mustache from his breakfast. And he said, ah, now we got him. So they said, they're going to go to his wife, Ozlu, the Yavu Simono Ledvisu. They went to the wife and said, we worked it out with your husband. He said to please give us back our wallets. And as a simon, he said, tell my wife that we had lentils for breakfast. In this way, his wife will assume that, how would they know that unless her husband had in fact told him that and wanted her to give back the wallets. So that's what they did. They told the wife this simon, and vishakluhu lechisayhu vaisu. So she took out the wallets from which they were hidden, and she gave it to them. Now, her husband comes home, and he's shocked that this happened, because obviously he didn't give any such simon, and he was very, very upset. So what did he do? He was a rasha. Ozalihu, the katle le'itzi, in his anger, he went and he killed his wife, Rachmana Litzlan. Hainu d'tnan, that's the gist that we have, but it really is a brisa, it's not a mishnah. Mayim rishonim hechilu b'sar chazir, and mayim achronim hargu es hanefesh. This is a famous gemara that we learn elsewhere. Rashi reminds us of this, that because of the lack of a person doing Mayim Rishonim, he ended up eating treifa stuff, he ended up eating pig meat, and because of a lack of a Mayim Achronim, a person got killed. There is elsewhere, the end of the story was that he also killed his son, and he killed himself as well. In any event, what was the story with the Mayim Rishonim? So the Mayim Rishonim story is that there was a time of persecution, the time of Shmat, and they weren't allowed to go and openly sell kosher meat. But the person wanted to stay in business, so he sold kosher meat and non-kosher meat. So if he saw a person washed Mayim Rishonim, so he saw he obviously was a Yid, so he served him kosher meat. If he saw that the person did not wash Mayim Rishonim, and he didn't look Jewish, so then he would serve him treifa meat, he would serve him pig meat. So that's exactly what happened. There was one Yid that didn't wash Mayim Rishonim. So the storekeeper, the restaurant owner, thought that he was a guy, and he gave him the pork. And this is how, because of a lack of Mayim Rishonim, a person was ended up being fed Besar Chazir. And our story is, the Mayim Achronim, because he didn't wash Mayim Achronim, and Mistama, the Minog is, that when you wash Mayim Achronim, you also then take your wet hands afterwards, and you wipe away any schmutz that you might have on your mustache area, on around your mouth, and that's the Minog. People do that today. When they wash Mayim Achronim, they go wash off their mustache area, and around their mouth. So therefore, because this Kidor didn't do that, it ended up that he caused to kill his wife, and according to some of his family, and he committed suicide himself. In any event, now Rav Meir had taught Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi to be careful about names. So the next time this happened, Lubasov, Havu Daike Bishma. So now Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi would be very careful about names of people. So the next time they went to stay at a hotel, Kimatu Lahu Besa, the Shmei Bala, we went to a guy's house, a hotel or house of a person whose name was Bala. Now they said, Lo Ay Lo Gabe, we're not going in over there. Why? Amri Shma Mina Rashu. Based upon his name, Bala, they said he must be a Rasha, because the Pasuk tells us, the Chsib, the Pasuk in Yecheskel tells us, Va Omar La Bala Niufin. He said of this person, he was Bala. Bala means worn out. He means he was worn out because of Niyufin, because he had committed so many zinus, because he had done so many immoral sexual improprieties. So therefore, he was called Omar La Bala Niyufin, and they made a play on his word Bala, that he must be a person who is involved in zinus, and we want to stay as far away from such a person as possible. Now, the Masoras Hashas tells us in the Ein Yaakov, the next words aren't there, but it also is an allusion to this idea of Bala having to do with the menstrual cycle, having to do with sexual immoralities. It says, Kamo, Acharei Belosi Hoysoli Edna, that after she had become worn out of relations, in other words, she was an older woman, in other words, she was post-menstrual, she was after her periods had stopped. So it says, Sarah then later on became a young woman again. So we see from this Lashon by Sari Menu, where it says that Acharei Velosi Hoysoli Edna, after I had been, quote, worn out. So this worn out means from having many times sexual relations during her married life. So she became Edna. So then she became young again. So this teaches us that this Lashon of Belosi is appropriate for us to say in Yechezkel, V'omar La'bal in Yufim, that it means that this person in Yechezkel, we learn out from that she was a zakena, and then she became young again, so he must have been Labolo Niufim from Niufim. In any event, the mission now is quoted. It says, Mishin Eshocho Kelev Shotov Chule. We said, if the rabid dog bites you, so then you're in a lot of trouble. So the Gemara tells us, Tanur Rabban, we learn in the Braisa, Chamisha Dvarim Nemru Bekelev Shotov. There are five characteristics that were said about this rabid dog, this mad dog. Number one, Piv Pasuach, its mouth is open. and the riro notif, it's foaming at the mouth, its saliva is dripping out. This is a classical symptom of rabies in a dog. Yozdev seruchos, its ears are falling down. Now, one of the signs and symptoms of rabies is also like a paralysis, so maybe it doesn't have the ability to hold its ears up anymore. Maybe that's what it's referring to. Uznova munach hayachasov, and its tail is hanging down on its legs. In other words, maybe again, the muscular structure is paralyzed somewhat in rabies. Certainly, initially, they're going to get weak. So therefore, maybe that's what it's referring to. It's disoriented and it walks on the sides of the road. Maybe that's what it's referring to, again, which is another sign of rabies. And the Yeshomim, af noveach vein kolo nishma. It barks, but it doesn't have a strong sound. Again, all of this could be signs of some of the paralysis, the muscular paralysis that you see early on in rabies. In any event, whether this is rabies or not, is irrelevant. The Gemara asks us, my hobby, what does this mad dog condition arise from? Is it, as we know, a viral illness if it's rabies, or was it some metaphysical idea? So Rav Amar, Noshim Kashfonios Mesachas Gubo. So Rav tells us that this is a result of women that are involved in black magic. So there was a certain kayach in those days, and they did this on this dog, and they caused this dog. As Rashi says, Marus Bos Kishveim Lishok. They were having fun with this dog, and they made it ill with this sickness that they were somehow able to provide to it. Shmuel says some sort of an evil spirit came over it. Maybe this, Shmuel, maybe would be more of a medical reason that it was a virus. Maybe that's what he means by Ruach Ra. In any event, whatever this illness was, we don't fully understand it. If we are suggesting that it's rabies, so then maybe these women somehow transmitted it to him in a metaphysical way or in a practical way, and maybe it's a virus, maybe it's not. In any event, my binayu, what's the difference between whether you say like Rav that these sorcerers, these women, Kashvanios, did this, or that it was a Ruach Ra? My binayu, what's the difference between these two pshatim practically? So Ika binayu, the Gemara tells us that there is a difference between them. We turn to pay Daladum and Aleph. How you should go kill this dog? We do know that a rabid dog is always put to death because there is no cure for it and it's going to be highly contagious. So how should you kill it? So the Gemara tells us, Lemiktele bedavar nizrach. If you are concerned, or we are according to Shmuel, that there is this evil spirit on it, so then don't go anywhere near it, because this evil spirit can then rest upon you. So kill it with an arrow. However, if it's just this noshim kashvanios, if it's this black magic, so then it's not in the air around it, it's just on the dog, and you could go close to it and go and kill it. You don't have to be far away. As Rashi explains over here, Lamandi Amar Ruach Ra, Shora Lov, Lo Yikrav, Etzla Lohar Gobi Adayim. Don't get anywhere near it, because you could then get contaminated. Elazorik Bocheitz, throw a arrow at it, Osakin, or a knife at it, Bahar, go and kill it in that way. Tanya Kavasi the Shmuel. We have a raya that Shmuel is right from the following brisa. Brisa tells us, Kisha Harginoso, when you go and kill this rabid dog, Ain Harginoso Elabedavar Anizra. You should go and kill it with something that is thrown. The Chayat Bey Mistakim, because if you were to come into contact with it, you'd rub against it, so then the Nochus Le Mais, you would go, in fact, be hurt by it, harmed by it, and you could die from it if it were to bite you. The Gemara adds and says, "D'choyev be'mistakein." If somebody is just coming into contact with it, it rubs against you, you're going to be in danger. Ma'itakante, what should you do about this? So the Gemara says, "Nishlach money, take off all of your clothing, veneer it, and run away." Some suggest that you don't run away; it means that you throw your clothing in front of this dog. And that's what the Bach adds over here. He says, "V'nishdinhu kamei," and then veneer it, and then you run away. As the story goes, the Bach continues, V'chod Rav Huna B'rei the Rav Yoshua. This story happened to Rav Huna, who was the son of Rav Yoshua, the Chaf Be'chad Minayu B'shuka, that a rabid dog rubbed up against him in the street. So he quickly, Shalchinu, he took off his clothing, L'monei, V'roid, and he ran. And again, the Bach has the gears over here, V'shodi Kamei, and he threw the clothing in front of this dog, and Rav Huna, B'rei the Rav Yeshua, said about himself, similar to what we had earlier in the shir, Amar Kiyamti Be'atzmi, Hechochmot T'chaye Bo'leo. If you're a Talmud Chacham and you know these Gemaras and you know these Psukim have a darsh in them, so then you can save your life. And then this was the pasuk that we brought down earlier from Koheles that we had previously when he ate from the fig trees on the sunny side, on the eastern side. So if a person knows Torah, so the Torah is making in metaphysical ways, but it's also making in a very practical way. It teaches you the proper way to conduct yourself, in this case, with a rabid dog. Now we'll learn more about rabid dogs and the treatments that they used to give to rabid dogs tomorrow. This is a good breakpoint. With this, we conclude today's share.